Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
The Believe Podcast Network presents the FCS Football Podcast.
Read it, son!
With Joe DeLeon.
Well, let's get fat.
And Sean Anderson.
I am a soothsayer.
You're tuned in to another episode of the Believe in FCS Football Podcast. This is a mailbag episode. We're starting off on the wrong foot as usual with
no countdown.
With no warning, no countdown. Sean was in Italy. He looks like a bed sheet. Or he looks like he's wearing a bed sheet, like a mattress.
It's a nice shirt.
Yeah. That's that 4K webcam right there.
That's pretty good.
Dude, you look fine. Like you look fine in the rest of the in the rest of the pictures and stuff.
You thought so? That's my least favorite picture, actually. Oh yeah,
one behind the bar.
Yeah, that's me behind the bar with my great friends at Chaplin's Irish Pub in Sorrento, Italy. I made great friends with them.
I don't know, man. The white button down shirt is just the only people that can pull it. Like I don't even think I could pull it off. The only people that can pull off the white button down shirt are tremendously thin people. I don't think either of you or either of us belong wearing one of those.
No, but that was destination appropriate attire is all that was.
Why is it destination appropriate attire?
That's what is worn. Like if you're going out to nice, that is the destination appropriate attire.
So you're saying the white button down shirt is like
navy pants.
You have to wear that if you're in Italy. Look at you. What is this?
No, I did some research. I wouldn't look like a big goof.
You're suddenly.
What's wrong with not trying? Oh, you stink.
You make fun of me being proud of being Italian, and then all of a sudden you're an expert of being Italian because you were there for a week.
No, is this what this is? I tried to do my due diligence before going. That's what I did. I did my due diligence. That's what's worn. I bought a shirt. I bought two shirts. Three shirts,
I will admit although I haven't interacted with you enough since you got back from the trip, you have not impressed, like acted like most people do when they go to Europe. Because usually most people, when they come back, they try to act like they're
in Europe. We were all saying when we get back, it's just going to be, you know, in Italy, they do it way different. You know, in Prague, this would never happen. You know, they're
awful. It's just a sorority girl thing to do, too. God. Like I'm glad I got your recap and we got it out of the way. But
is that the recap? Did you like any of the other the fits that I had?
No.
What about the second one?
No, I'm saying you called me and gave me the recap on a separate occasion. So like I'm glad we don't need to you don't need to keep telling me more and more about the trip. Like it's you told me what happened.
Yeah, like you care. Yeah, like you would care a bunch.
Right. Like I mean, when I'm going, I'm not going to tell you anything because like I know you don't care.
Why not? I care about what you would do.
Okay.
When are you going?
The end of July.
Were you going to tell me?
I told you I was going.
When?
I don't know. You were blinders were on, so like anything I told you probably went over your head. 3 minutes in, we haven't even explained today's show. So mailbag episode, Jamie's Corner is the official name of the mailbag. He won the vote, and then Jamie was very upset that we didn't do a mailbag episode after naming it after him. And then Sam Herder comes in and there was almost a bidding war over Jamie.
Yeah. Okay. that's not how this operates.
How does it operate?
Jamie should be honored that it's Jamie's Corner and not, there were a lot of other potential Vier people that wanted to have the corner. Yeah. And what the hell does Sam Herder, what is he interacting with Jimmy for? Jimmy's our guy. He can, no, Sam Herder, I saw that. Uh-huh. I couldn't believe it. Why would he think that is appropriate?
Because we weren't living up to the billing. He has sponsored, Jamie has sponsored the segment. It is brought to you by Jamie and
Sam Herder back on the hack list.
Top
of the list.
What?
Sam Herder, top of the list. You don't come for our guys.
I'm trying to coordinate guests right now for the off season. Getting, you know, teased a little bit by some people and not coming all the way through, but I think I should hit up Sam Herder and get him on the show.
Sure, you two do a show together. I refuse to do a show with a hack that is not you.
No. If I,
you two have a good time.
Don't call me a hack. Don't call me a hack.
No, you dude, you're as big.
After
as
what I texted you earlier, I am not a hack.
That's pretty hack. Right. But look, you're top of the list.
Okay, so we got a lot of questions to get through today. We're gonna do this. We'll probably do a Hack City episode if we can track down Vier. If you missed that, it's on the YouTube channel, and it's a little bit more content like this, where it's just freeform dipshit discussions. Talk radio, because I know some of our listeners like that stuff, so we're trying to provide some of that, some more serious stuff like we did with the NIL discussion that we just did. So trying to provide different things for our content, especially after we just did 1,000 subscribers on the YouTube, which is big.
Don't inflect your voice like that again, please. Please don't do that. There's no reason for that.
Can you read?
Yeah. Okay.
Can you do the read?
I'd love to. We got NBA basketball going. We have MLB going. Dude, how upset? I know you're not tracking it, but the Mets being the first of 20 wins is.
I don't want to talk about it.
Dude, I expected. Actually, I don't know why I did. I expected more out of Philly. Whatever. Continue to be the number one source for all of your betting needs and sports information. So if you're looking to get some action going for the NHL playoffs, also whatever sports you want to bet on, head to BetOnline. It is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games as well. It's super easy to get started. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code BLEAV. That's BLEAV to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Might be one of our most efficient reads that's ever been done on this show.
In and out.
Not like this segment is about to be, or this show is about to be. What? It's nothing.
It's what we asked for.
It's what we asked for,
It's what we asked for. So I can't be upset.
It's increasingly more chaotic than usual. No questions from Brendan and Chad, which I'm disappointed. They must not have seen the tweet. I think one of them liked it, so that's even weirder. So Jamie gets first pick on questions because it is Jamie's corner. One of the questions is deleted. Never mind. It's right there. Okay. First question from Jamie. Now that the draft is over, who, other than Christian Watson, Pierre Strong, or Troy Anderson, landed in an ideal situation? So separate from the big three that I've been talked about a lot as guys that landed in good spots. And I also did a draft reaction show where I talked about those guys all ending up in really good situations. Sean, I think my favorite fit is actually Trevor Penning out of all the guys
in New Orleans
ending up with New Orleans. You know who Ryan actually had a really interesting comp for Penning?
Who?
He said that he reminds him of Zach Strief. So for Strief to be the comp for a former Saints tackle to now Trevor Penning, the current Saints tackle, I think that's really interesting. But they needed a tackle. They needed a mean developmental tackle. And I think that Trevor Penning fits that perfectly.
How do you not? The Cole Strange pick. I know people are saying he wasn't going to get out of the second round, third round, whatever. A first round pick for Cole Strange people are going to be like, what's going on? Who is this guy? If you're just a standard Patriots fan, it's going to fit perfect. Because what are they, dude? All the Patriots ever do is draft incredible interior offensive linemen.
Never the big, mean, strong guys, too.
And it's like, okay, did Belichick and crew just draft the next Jason Kelsey? Is that who they just drafted? They might have. They, 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 they,
Strange isn't going to play center though because they got David Andrews, so they're probably going to plug him in to replace Shaq Mason. I think that's what's going to end up happening.
That could happen. I don't know. I need him to be wider though if he's going to be playing a guard. I just need him to be wider. You know what I'm saying, right?
His arms,
he's got a fantastic center frame for a mobile, modern, quick reach center.
And I forget how tall he is. He's actually 6'5", but his arms are just really short. They're like barely 33 inches, which is not good arm length for a guard.
I like the fit because New England knows how to develop interior offensive linemen. They normally pick really good ones. I'm worried that the first round pick, people are going to be sour on him immediately because it's the knee jerk reaction of the football fans. If he misses a block or gives up a sack to who's in the Patriots division? Who's Christian Wilkins? If Christian Wilkins puts Strange in Mac Jones' lap, people are going to be like, oh, we picked him first round 29. Just give it time. The Patriots will figure it out. He's going to be just fine. I think he's going to be just fine. I like that pick a lot.
Yeah, he's a pick who he's not going to be like an immediate impact guy that we're all going to be like, wow, look how good this guy is. He does need some time. Like technically speaking, like his technique isn't great, but what you get with him, really strong, powerful anchor. He is mean as hell.
Very quick hands.
He comes to reps like he's trying to win a fight, which I love. Different from the way that Penning was doing it. Penning was throwing guys into Ritter's lap at the Senior Bowl, and he was throwing punches, but it felt like Cole Strange was reeling in the right way where he wasn't getting into a fight, but he was jawing and going at it with guys in a competitive manner that just made me excited to watch him. But I do agree that there's only so many teams that style of guard fits with perfectly the way that it does with Cole Strange being with the New England Patriots.
I don't know how thrilled I am for McCollum going I misread. No, McCollum in Tampa is going to be good also. Yeah. I really like that. It kind of feels like the Sean Murphy Bunting pick for them. Yes. How early on did they
he was a mid-round pick. He wasn't an early pick. So like that's why like I have expectations that McCollum could develop because he's athletic and they developed mid to late round DBs really well.
Yeah, they do that really well there also. So I like that a lot.
All right, Jamie has now a mental twister here for us. A man has two sheep and a wolf at a riverbank. I've heard this one before, but I don't remember the answer.
I've heard it as a chicken, a wolf, and something else, but continue.
He has to get all to the other side in a two-person canoe. If left alone for even a second, the wolf will eat a sheep. How does he get himself and all three animals to the other side without the wolf eating a sheep? So it's only two people.
It's a riddle, and we've all heard this riddle. I've forgotten how it's solved. I'm going to be pissed that I'm going to have to look it up or have you figure out the answer.
Is it as dumb as
it's a two-person canoe? Yeah, I don't know if it's that.
Well, right. Does two people mean that it doesn't pertain to the amount of sheep and that can fit in the boat?
Wolf eat the sheep. I got to draw this out here. All right.
Does he get himself and all three animals to the other side?
Person.
Is it a riverbank? How does he get to the other side? Is it something with a riverbank?
I don't know. I think it's just it might be a math thing that we're...
No, it's definitely not. It's like Is it because isn't a riverbank the end of a river or am I crazy?
No, you're crazy there. No, riverbank can happen all up and down the river. I'm looking it up. We can't just waste time thinking about this.
Give me a second.
Wolf.
I mean, can we assume that the size of the sheep is equivalent to one person? Can we do that?
I'm looking it up now. Where is the answer?
Just get to the side in a two-person canoe. He's two sheep and a wolf at a riverbank. He's to get all to the other side in a two-person canoe. If left alone for even a second, the wolf will eat the sheep. Did you find the answer?
I do. Okay. It's convoluted.
What are tell us the answer because I don't feel like sitting here.
All right. You take the wolf first, then go back across and get a sheep. You leave the sheep, then take the wolf back across then take the other sheep over, and then come back to get the wolf.
So it is like a mind game. God damn it, Jamie. Just, this wasn't even like a clever wording one. This was like, we just, needed to sit here and map it.
Yeah, it's strictly like, Jamie, I'm sitting here, I'm sitting here drawing up a possible a figure. Hold on. Yeah, that's what I got there. And I'm thinking, how am I going to work it back and forth?
That was the drawing that you
can... Fuck you. You didn't know the answer either.
But what was the drawing of that? That was
I could at least do some mental math of the boat and the dude and the sheep.
I don't know.
Returning the sheep or returning the wolf is what had to happen. Okay.
Yeah, you got to keep bringing him back and forth. Is the gist of it. Okay, next question. What are some of your other favorite FCS-based podcasts that you listen to? I don't think I've listened to another one, if I'm being completely honest.
Walk On Radio.
Oh, yeah. I do listen to Walk On Radio. I forgot that counts. It's the only one that I listen to. I listen to my guys all the time. That one easily. But just because that, you know, they did what we did after we did it. What? Oh. Say it.
No.
Say it.
Nope.
You're a jackass. What? You
stink. I don't listen to anybody. Hey, they all stink.
You're the one who called everyone a hack. This is, whatever. Ryan McCluskey asks, which team next year can defy all the odds, have a Montana State fairy tale run to championship game? Guys, we gotta put full sentences together. That was how it was written. Campbell, next question.
I'm not gonna jinx a team because I'm an awful jinx. I refuse to let my jinx determine it. But I mean, a fairy tale run also, and
I don't know if I consider the Montana State run fairy tale. But
they're built really well. They had two players drafted. That's not a fairy tale run,
right?
I don't know.
They just had a down year, and it's like who had a down year that could recover.
I thought Chattanooga's run was more fairy tale than Montana State's. I know they went deep to the championship, but I mean there were teams that were creating chaos in the playoffs more, which I value more than we talk about fairy tales than it. Montana State, a well built and well run team. I don't know. Right. I'll go with. Fairy tale, yeah. You know, I'll go with the Citadel. I will say Citadel are going to have some fairy tale times.
Okay, I'm sure the FCS Foundation radio folks enjoy that. Nick Massaroni asks, how off base do you think the NCAA's bracket prediction was? What do you agree and disagree with most? So he is referencing the FCS page putting out a way too early bracket. I got one problem with this already, and is the only problem that I have. Why is Holy Cross on this goddamn bracket? Stop putting them in the freaking bracket. I can't. I'm so sick of Holy Cross.
Sacramento State for me. I know that they just came on the scene like we blinked, and then they were completely in the playoff picture last year. Mm-hmm. It's a little too early for that. They are too up and down as a team. And just since we'll be like, oh, man, this Sacramento State team, hey, man, they got a lot of weapons. They got this and that. And then it's like, oh, they had four wins or that, you know, they were disappointing. And then this last year, didn't even look at them all year. And then they're in the playoffs. So Sacramento State, I would not put in my bracket just because they are finicky.
The ones I think I disagree with the two is we always fall into this trap of just adding back in teams that did well last year. So I don't think Villanova's a lock. They are losing Daniel Smith, Justin Covington. They're losing, and Christian Benford just got drafted. They're losing a lot of guys. Like, that one's not a guarantee to me. Southeastern Louisiana's losing guys, especially Cole Kelly. Like, that's something to pay attention to. Richmond's a little bit shocking to me, but I think that we're getting a little bit lazy by just throwing in the good CAA teams into the mix. South Dakota, though, we need to pay attention to South Dakota. South Dakota is going to be a really underrated team next year. Actually, honestly, that's a good answer to the last question. South Dakota, with Carson Camp and what he could be next year and some of these other dudes that they have on that roster, they could be a randomly really, really good flash in the pan, one good season type team.
I guess to Nick's question, it's not too off base because you still have, you know, the heavy hitters all scattered about, you know, North Dakota State, South Dakota State, Delaware. That's fine with me. Kennesaw. Mm-hmm. I wonder why Nick wanted to send this in, probably because he saw Kennesaw was predicted.
Kennesaw doesn't belong in it.
Yeah.
No, they're going to win their division.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they probably will.
Okay. Next question from the rabbit hole. He's got two for us here. Why do so many Disney cartoon characters wear white gloves? Improvised guesses / hypotheses only. No Google allowed. I feel like you would know the answer to this. And I've heard the answer before, and I feel like it's...
Okay, so I know that people in old-timey England used to wear the gloves just to protect their hands, and then also if you're smoking a whole bunch of cigarettes, you don't want to stain your fingers. But in the Disney cartoons, aside from like the princesses who wear all the white gloves, I'm assuming you mean like the cartoon characters like Mickey Mouse. So I'll focus on Mickey Mouse here. It was probably because it gave it a better actual appearance. Cause I mean,
right. Disney didn't know how to draw people's fingers was I think part of it.
Yeah. It seemed like a much simpler way to draw hands. Here's hands instead of, okay, do we give the mouse claws, do we do this or that? And then it's like, okay, well, he's just wearing gloves and it looks easy and it seems like it's very easy to draw.
We're both right. I looked it up. Is that against the rules? Was I not allowed to look it up?
Well, we gave an explanation beforehand. Okay. I think it's fine. All right.
So the answer is rounded hands were difficult for audiences to see against their bodies in black and white film, especially when characters were using them. That's where the white gloves came in. So it was difficult to draw and it didn't appear normal. So mm-hmm. that was why. Okay. We're learning things.
All right. So we're right. I'm just naturally smart about that. All right. Thank you, the rabbit hole, for that question.
Another one from Rabbit Hole. You are in the Matrix. Put yourself in Neo's position. When Morpheus offers you the choice of the blue or the red pill, which one are you taking and why? If you don't know what I'm talking about, watch the movie. I've seen the movie. The red pill is supposed to be you see the world as it truly is. The blue pill is you go back to normal reality. So are we assuming in this situation that the reality that we jump to is the one in the Matrix, or is it just...
He said for us to be Neo, so that means we're putting ourselves in the... Well, I mean, it kind of worked out for Neo. The last movie was awful, so then he kind of just got, you know... I don't know, the fragmented reality. If I knew that something was off, I don't know if he... I mean... Ignorance is bliss, though, right?
Well, so that was like when he gave us the alien question, and if there's nothing out there and we never interact with them, my argument was that if we don't know anything, being ambivalent to what is out there better. But so in this situation, if you know that there's something else, I don't know, that would drive me insane. You kind of have to at that point. Once you know that there's something else out there.
Wasn't it just crazy as hell, though? He was in that pod. I don't know if I want to wake up in a pod like that and have to go through all the stuff.
So you'd rather stay in the simulation?
I'm just saying, I got a bed in the simulation.
Oh, you're so soft. You're really picking the simulation?
What do you you thought that was an easy journey in the Matrix that he had to go through?
No, but you're picking I would probably get killed pretty quickly if I had to wake up in a much more dangerous reality. But my point is that you would willingly go through the rest of your life knowing none of it was real.
Although I guess you're just saying now that I got off topic from the actual question that was asked. Uh-huh. If I was in that position as Neo, you know, I've watched the whole movie. I know how it turns out.
Right.
If in that situation I am Neo, I am taking the pill to go through it just because I would have to see it. But after watching the movie and seeing all the stuff he had to do, it seemed like a really big hassle. So I don't know if I would do
it. So you're picking the blue pill because it's too much work.
No. I would take the blue pill without seeing the movie. Like without, if it was strictly all the circumstance, if I'm thinking of the movie's path, right? So if I'm like, okay, I've followed the path and I don't know what's going to happen, then yeah, sure, I'll take the blue pill and I'll go see the real reality. Now that I've seen the movie, I would probably not take the blue. I'd take the red pill and just live in fairy tale land.
I don't know how in any circumstance you could argue.
Dude, it was like combat training all the time.
But the way that you argued it was that like, I'm just going to chill. I'm just going to, you know,
I might just chill.
I mean, that's a good point. You pick the blue pill and you know that nothing matters and you can get away with it whatever you want. Like you could just dick around.
Yeah. And now I know that I have some
idea. But then, but nothing matters. No, it's not a bad idea. It's not. It's something to consider. I think that we're degenerates, so like we're gonna think in that. You know, if you're Neo in this circumstance, he's like, "Oh, I need to save the real reality."
Did he know he had like a true love at the during that time also? Because in the latest movie, it was like he was, you know, with that mixing it up with the one. It was like he could tell something was, you know, it was.
But like right, so like that's where. Like your interactions with people, like immediately, like that would mess me up. Like as soon as I know that everything is fake around me, like I would everything, all the time that I spent, all the like nervousness and everything that like interactions that I've had, I've known now that it is fake. So it's maybe like I'm can't go back to that.
Maybe I'm just a huge wuss and I don't want to. Dude,
lazy.
You know how terrified I am of like the IRS. Imagine having to go up. Imagine having to go up about against like that crazy ass government chasing you all over the place. Yeah. I'd be gassed.
And if you picked the blue pill reality, then the
it wasn't, you know, for nobody just, else is complaining.
You could just commit tax fraud,
dude. Yeah, I guess so. But like I'm saying, nobody else is complaining about this stuff. They're all in their pods chilling. I'm the one guy that's got to complain and mess everything up.
The Believe in FCS Football podcast. Commit tax fraud.
Yeah.
All right. Last question, Sean. Yeah. FCS Fan Nation Radio. Who will be the best not a state this season? Kennesaw, Weber, or other? Someone commented under this and suggested the obvious answer. It's neither of these teams.
Jackson State. I thought you were going to say Portland State.
Oh, no. You're right.
No, fuck you. No, not right. Portland I'm wrong. State. I thought you were
cursing a lot this week. I thought you were going with where did that come from? You've been dropping a lot of F-bombs. You're usually, I'm the one who's cursing.
I'm not the first one to do it. That I once you let one out, then I'm good.
No.
But I will not be the one to start the swearing. So pardon the swearing in this episode.
Jackson State's the answer. Second answer is Portland State.
I think if Kennesaw State played Jackson State would probably win. But yeah, so Jackson State, then Kennesaw State. What about Sam Houston State?
Yeah, we can't count them anymore. They're moving up.
Oh yeah, yeah. God. Yeah. All right, Jackson State. We're big Jackson State fans.
All right, Sean. Anything else?
What? Oh, I guess that was all the questions. No, Joe just heard everybody's feelings. About saying all their other shows suck. And that he
didn't.
Listen to
I
me.
Didn't.
He wouldn't
say
bother
that.
Himself to listen to.
I the, didn't say the, that. I just said that I've never listened to.
Yeah, because why would
walk
you
on radio?
Why bother? Why bother with anybody else?
Because I don't have time. I'm sorry. It's not a disrespect thing. It's gonna get so blown out of context. I can't wait for tomorrow. It's actually, this is gonna go up to. No, I'll put it up tomorrow.
Oh, you're letting the other one. You're letting yesterday's breathe a little bit.
Yeah, I don't wanna choke it out.
Cool. Choke it out.
I don't know.
Suffocate it? Smother it? Is that what you're like? Choke it out.
Choke it out.
Whatever. All right.
And the FCS show. Football podcast. Sports.
Hack City. Today.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur Adapt Collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.